I want to give you a little background to the scripture reading that Brother Chuck read just a moment ago. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the background, but I want you to understand what was going on. David was the king of Israel. One of his sons, named Absalom, wanted to be king. And so he began to win people to himself. And he might have said something like this: "Dad's getting old. And somebody else needs to step into the role of responsibility that Dad has. Somebody else needs to take over." He says, "I'm just the person to do that." And he won people to himself and then led them in a revolt against his father. When Absalom rose up against David, David didn't know how it was going to come out. So he fled Jerusalem. He left the throne. He left the palace. He left his robe and his crown and his scepter, and he fled from Jerusalem. He crossed the Jordan River and went to a place called Maham. He took some of his court with him, some of his family and some of his followers, and he went to this place called Maham, and he hid there. And there was a war between Absalom and the people that were with him and David's troops. David would not fight his own son. But Joab, his general, led the Israeli army into the civil war, and they were victorious. Absalom was killed, and word came to David that his forces had won and that he was the king again. And then people started talking about, well, when is David going to come back to Jerusalem? When is David going to come back home? When is David going to come back to the throne and sit on the throne again? In fact, some of the people started asking the question, why say ye not a word about bringing back the king? They wanted to know when David was going to be brought back. And the scripture from 2 Samuel chapter 19 is about David coming back from that exile, self-imposed exile, so to speak, after the Civil War, after Absalom had been killed. It's about him coming back to Jerusalem to sit once again on the throne. And so get the picture in your mind. Here's the king. Here's his entourage that are with him. Some of his family, no doubt. Some of his loyal subjects, no doubt, that had went into exile with him. And they're on their way back to Jerusalem. And they come between them and Jerusalem is the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River is not a very big river, but it's a turbulent, unruly, rough river. And in order for David to get back to Jerusalem, he's got to cross that river. I can see him as he and those that are with him come to this side of Jordan, and they can look across the river, probably only about 30 yards across at its widest point. And they can see across the river, and they can see the crowd that's gathered there to greet them. Brother Chuck read it, and if you did the math, there were at least 1,037 people there to meet David, probably others. And so here's the king and all those that are with him. They're looking across the river. They see this crowd that's there ready to welcome them home, but they've got to cross the Jordan River. How are they going to do it? How are they going to get across this river? And in verse 18, "And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good." So David is coming from the west, so to speak. He's looking toward the east. He's trying to get back to Jerusalem. He sees this great crowd of people, but he sees this river that has to be crossed. How's he going to do it? Oh, wait a minute. Somebody on the other side has built a ferry boat. And they're bringing that ferry boat over across the Jordan River to get the king. The ferry boat gets there. The king and those that are with him get on it, and they make their way across across the Jordan River. And just picture it in your mind. What a reunion. What a meeting. There's shouts of joy. There's tears of gladness. The king is home again. Because the king is going to sit on his throne again. The civil war is over. Everything's going to be as it was before. Loved ones and friends are reunited as the king comes home to Jerusalem. Now, as I read this story a couple weeks ago, and as I considered it, I saw a picture in this little story of a similar event that's going to take place in the future. An event that's going to happen to all of us that know Jesus as our Savior when the King comes to transport us across the river and bring us in to the New Jerusalem, bring us in to heaven. And this morning, I want to mention four similarities between our one-day trip into heaven and the trip that the king took this day across the Jordan River going back to Jerusalem. Four things I want to point out to you. Number one, the boat had to come from the other side. The boat had to come from the other side. When David came to Jordan, the Jordan River, he had no way to cross it on his own. But on the other side of the river, in maybe perhaps even in Jerusalem, someone had built a ferry boat. And the ferry is now crossing the river to take David and those that are with him to the other side. If you ever get to heaven, you'll get there on the ship of Zion that wasn't built on this side of the river, but was built on the other side of the river in the New Jerusalem. You won't get to heaven built on a ship that was built in Rome. You won't get to heaven on a ship that was built in Nashville. You won't. If you get to heaven, you'll get to a ship that was built on the other side and crosses the river to come and get you. The Bible says that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And there's too many ships that are being built on this side of the river. They're faulty ships. They're leaky ships. They're ships that set out to cross the Jordan River, but they will not make it. The river will capsize them. The river will take them down, and nobody on those ships will make it across the Jordan River. They'll all be lost and never make it to the New Jerusalem. And if you want to go to the New Jerusalem, and when you come to the Jordan River and you ask the question, what's going to get me there? What's going to get me to heaven? The only thing that will get you to heaven is a ship that's been built on the other side. It's not baptism. That ship was built on this side, and that ship will sink when it gets out on the Jordan River. It's not confession. That's a ship that's built on this side of the river, and it will never make it across. There's nothing that you can do on this side to get yourself to heaven. Thank God there was somebody in heaven that planned a way for us to get there, and that was God Himself when He devised the gospel before all eternity. The ship was built on the other side. The commandment keeper that thinks he's going to get to heaven by keeping the commandments. You're on a ship that was built on the wrong side. Won't make it across the river. The good works crowd who think they can work their way to heaven. You're on the wrong ship. That ship won't make it across the river. The salvation that I have this morning and the salvation that you have this morning was not made on this side of the river. The salvation that we have this morning was made on the other side in the New Jerusalem by God. You see, if you look at all the religions in the world today, you can divide them into one of two categories. I know there's a lot of them. I know there's a bunch of them. But you can divide them into two categories. You can divide them into, first of all, those that were built on this side of the river, where man had some input into that religion, where man devised some plan to get to heaven. And I want to tell you, all those plans are good for nothing because they won't work. The other religion that's in the world today is that was devised and built and planned on the other side of the river by God Himself. The boat had to come from the other side. So let me ask you this morning, most of us here are probably already Christians, but just in case, let me ask you this question this morning. What ship are you on? What ship are you on? The surfboard of communion was built on the wrong side. The paddle boat of confirmation was built on the wrong side. The rowboat of good works was built on the wrong side. The canoe of baptism was built on the wrong side. The sailboat of the sacraments were built on the wrong side. The raft of church membership was built on the wrong side. The water skis of legalism was built on the wrong side. And the motorboat of denominationalism was built on the wrong side. All those ships will sink. All will go down. All will be lost. And none of those people that are on those ships, depending on them those things to get them to heaven, none of them will walk through a pearly gate. None of them will walk on the street of gold. None of them will see the saints of God. None of them will look into the face of our dear Savior. And we need to quit trusting the ships that were built on this side and start trusting the things that came from the other side. The Bible says in the book of James that all good things come from the Father above. The gospel comes from the other side. Salvation comes from the other side. Forgiveness comes from the other side. Grace comes from the other side. Mercy comes from the other side. Pardon comes from the other side. Joy comes from the other side. Peace comes from the other side. Contentment comes from the other side. The boat came from the other side. We need to get out of the boat building business and get on the boat that Jesus built, the only one that'll get us to heaven, the old ship of Zion that's never gone down, never failed. It'll make it across that river every single time. And if you're on any other ship this morning, get off of it and get on the gospel ship, the only one that'll make it to heaven. The boat came from the other side. Number two, all those that were with the king, all those that were with David, when they got on that ferry boat, they were just as safe as he was. Just as safe as the king was. Everybody with them. When they started out to cross the river, they were just as safe as the king. Why? Because they were on the same boat. They were on the same ferry. Let me tell you something. Listen to this. This morning, I am just as saved as Jesus is. Say, Brother Darrell, that's a pretty rash statement. I know, but it's true. This morning, I am just as sure for heaven as Jesus is. Some people say, well, I'm afraid I can't make it to heaven. Well, let me tell you this morning, if the king makes it and you're saved, you'll make it too. Because you're just as saved as he is. Some people say, well, I hope I don't drown. You won't if the king won't. Some people say, well, I don't feel safe. Doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what boat you're on, and are you on the same one that he's on? They were just as safe as the king was. Man, if the king got there, they were going to get there. And if the king gets to heaven, if Jesus gets to heaven, then I'm going to get to heaven too. Because the Bible says that I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm just as saved as he is. He's the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. I'm just as much a child of God as Jesus Christ himself. He's got a his name's written in heaven. My name's written in heaven. He's got a record that's clear and clean in heaven. I've got a record that's clear and clean in heaven. Not because of my actions, because of what he did for me on Calvary. Jesus took all my sins, put them on his record, died, and if you go to heaven today and you go look at my record, you'll find a record that's lily clean, pure and white, because I have the record of Jesus Christ. And so do you if you've received him as your Savior. You're just as safe as he is, and you're just as sure to make it as he is. So the boat came from the other side. Number two, all those that were with the king were just as safe as the king. Number three, it's just a short trip. It's a short trip. It didn't take David 3 days to get across the Jordan River. It wasn't 10 miles across. It was 30 yards, 90 feet. He could stand on this side of the river and look that 90 feet, and he could see those that were gathered to meet him. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I was with my grandmother just a few hours before she died. And I think she could see into heaven. Because she'd talk to me for a while, and then she'd talk to people that I knew were dead. She had a little 9-year-old girl that died. I could hear, when I was in her hospital room, and I'd have to put my ear down close to her mouth because she had oxygen, she could barely breathe. And she talked to me for a second, and then she talked to this aunt that I'd never met. You see, heaven, the New Jerusalem, the other side of Jordan, whatever you want to call it, is just a short journey away. And when you die, you don't go somewhere and stay for years and years and years until the world ends before you get to go be with Jesus. When you die, you immediately go to be with him. And it's just a short journey. I think when people that are Christians get ready to die, with one ear, they can hear all their earthly friends saying goodbye. And with the other ear, they can hear all those that are in heaven saying, welcome home. I ran across this poem about 4 weeks ago, and I want to read it to you this morning because it sort of makes this point. We really are not far away from heaven's bright eternal day. It's just a few miles down the road that God will lift our heavy load. This place is not so far from here, and I can sometimes seem to hear the shout of joy and song and praise that we shall know for endless days. I've studied some the guidebook of the Father's house he's built above, and found that since my mansion's near, he sent some things ahead down here. Perhaps he wants to give a taste to make us come to him in haste, lest days and years are spent in waste in things unholy and unchaste. Today I'm in the vestibule, tomorrow in the house I'll rule. There's so much here that talks to me of things I'll know eternally. Yes, even now I often dine on heaven's bread and heaven's wine, and though I look through glasses dim, I often get a glimpse of him. So though I'm not on heaven's gold, methinks here I oft behold some heavenly things that have their birth right here upon this present earth. I now enjoy the morning fare of an endless day that I'll know there. Today the choice hors d'oeuvres I eat of a full course meal at Jesus' feet. Now heaven slumbers in my breast as the oak within the acorn rest. No better robe is offered there than the spotless one that I wear here, which soon shall Jesus take away from out its closet made with clay. Down here I smell a sweet perfume of a bud that there shall be in bloom. And heavenly streets all have their birth and little pass right here on earth. The Christian life I now caress is just the same that I'll possess. And though I now in Kadesh stay, I eat of Eskel's grapes today. Sometimes I cannot tell a bit if I'm in the flesh or out of it. Bless God, the life that I now own is just the same that's at his throne. Up there they eat the Savior's feed, and as he supplies their every need. And yet my Savior feeds me too, supplies my needs my whole life through. They serve him there and do it right, and yet I serve him too by day and night. They walk with God, yet so do I. He wipes their tears, yet dries my eyes. He cares for them, yet watches me. They praise him there, yet so do we. For we, like they, know his rebirth. Heaven must begin right here on earth. Though I've not spanned the sea before, I now can bathe near heaven's shore. You know, I think the songwriters don't have it right. We sing the song, "There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar." It's not that far away. We sing the song, oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies, or they tell me of a home far away. It's not that far away. It's just a breath away. It's just a short journey from here to the New Jerusalem. And then number four. Here's the best part of the whole sermon. Here's the part I've been waiting to preach ever since Monday night. And Sandy and Donnie and Billy, I know why you're here this morning. It's for this point right here. They were met at the landing. When King David returned, there were bands playing and banners unfurled and friends shouting and loved ones praising and warm embraces because the king is home again. And likewise, when we cross the river and when we get to the New Jerusalem, we too shall be met. Richard will be there waiting for you. He'll meet you when you get off the boat. I'll see my Grandma Manning again. Nobody could make cornbread and banana pudding like she could. And I think she'll sort of have me a little dish when I get off the boat. My grandpa and Grandma Gibson will be there when I cross the river. My Uncle Bert, who taught me more about Christianity in a single act than any person I know. I can remember when I was in the juniors, he was my Sunday school teacher. And my Aunt Audrey taught the junior girls. And she was taking the girls to the beach for a party. And he was going to drive them. He said, would you like to go? I said, oh, would I like to go? Sure, I'd like to go. And so we went. And you know how junior boys are. They like to show off. And so he gave me his car keys. He said, would you go get something out of the car? And so I had this group of girls with me. We were going back to the car. I was throwing these trees up in the air, catching them as they came down. Well, I threw them up one time. They never came down. He had to call the state police to take them home to get another set of car keys so that we could get home. And you know, not one time did he should have wore the daylights on me, but he taught me what it was to be forgiving in that single act I've never forgotten. He's in heaven. He'll be there to meet me. My Aunt Audrey was the one when I was 12 years old, says, if you don't smoke until you're 16, I'll give you $5. I wanted that $5. Never had a cigarette because of her. Debbie's grandfather and grandmother are in heaven. Granddaddy and miss them. They'll be there when I get there. Brother Roberts, the pastor that I surrendered to preach, he was my pastor when I surrendered to preach. He'll be there. His wife, Mrs. Roberts, who always told me, she says, I don't want my flowers when I die. I want them while I'm alive. She'll be there. I have a little baby that I never met that will be there to meet me. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't want to die. I was reading a sermon by Charles Spurgeon a couple weeks ago, and he says, in his sermon, he says, I want to die. Jesus died, and I want to die just like he did. And I thought to myself, well, Charles, you can have that wish if you want, but I sure don't want that wish. I don't want to die. I don't want somebody dressing me. And I don't want somebody deciding what I'm going to. And I don't want you guys all walking past the casket saying, oh, he looks so natural. I'm going to tell Debbie to shut the casket so none of you can see me. I don't want to die. But I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Henry Morrison was a missionary. He gave his whole life in Africa telling people about Jesus. He was up in his 80s, and he was coming home from Africa. And as he got to the harbor, I think it was in Baltimore, he saw crowds, and he saw banners that said, "Welcome home," and he heard bands playing. And he got all excited. He said, I didn't know that they would do this for a missionary that was coming home. I didn't know they'd make all this fuss for me. And somebody that was standing next to him as they looked over the side of the ship said, "That's not for you. President Theodore Roosevelt is on this ship. And he's been hunting in Africa. All these people and these bands and these banners are for him." And Henry Morrison said, for a moment, he got a little bit bitter. He says, "I've given my whole life serving God, telling people about Jesus, and nobody's here to welcome me. And yet a guy goes hunting for a few days where I gave my whole life, and all these people are here to welcome him home." And then you read his autobiography. He said he closed his eyes and he saw a different shore, and he saw a different welcoming committee, and he knew that when he sailed into the New Jerusalem, there were going to be bands and banners for him. The boat came from the other side. Those that were with the king were just as safe as the king. It was just a short trip. And they were met when they got over there. Same thing's true when we make our trip to the New Jerusalem. The ship's got to come from the other side. Only a ship that's built in heaven will make it back to heaven. We'll go with the king. And on this trip, Chuck prayed a minute ago, there's lots of things going on in the world that we don't understand. But on this trip, we're just as safe as the king is. And it'll be a short trip, and we will be met when we get there. We sing the song, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land." If you're not bound for heaven this morning, there's only one thing you need to do. You don't need to build a boat. You just need to get on the one that Jesus built for us already. So come and join this holy band and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joy is immortal flow. Only trust him, only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you. He will save you now. I know most of us that are here this morning are Christian. And you didn't need to hear a gospel message this morning. But maybe you needed to hear about heaven. And maybe you needed to be reminded about how we're going to get there and what's going to happen when we get there. Death is highly overrated, and death is highly, highly feared. When we die. Look, if you come by my casket, and if Debbie decides to leave the top open, and you look down at me, don't feel sorry for me, because I'm going to be having the time of my life, just like all those that are in heaven already are today. I mean, they're looking down here and they're seeing all this snow. And they're saying, "Boy." And they're rejoicing that they're in heaven. And we ought to rejoice that we have that to look forward to. Just a short trip. Just a short trip. Only one ship's going to make it across. And that's the old ship of Zion that's been making that journey for hundreds and thousands of years. It's never failed, and it will never will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these wonderful truths from your word. I pray, I don't know, Father, maybe there is somebody here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. And I pray if there's just one person here that's not sure of their salvation, but before they leave this place, they'll get on that ship of Zion. And they'll make sure they'll get in the boat where the King is. They'll get in the boat that was built in heaven. They'll get in the boat, the only one that'll make it across the river and get them safely to the other shore. Father, for the Christians that are here, some of us have dear ones in heaven. Some have gone recently. Some have been there for a while. But they'll be there on the shore to meet us when we make our journey. Thank you for that hope. Thank you for that assurance. I pray this morning that you just take this time of invitation. You'd use it as you see fit. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.